sexy, spooky bones.
Hello and welcome to The Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I'm Rolando.
Yes, you are. Oh, and I'm John. Shit, dude, I don't know.
How do we do this?
I don't know. I was just complaining about, like, I don't know how any of this shit works. Like, we only do this once a week. I can't keep up.
We literally, after a week, we just wipe our brains and it's like we're doing it for the first time.
It's like I go to sleep and then I don't wake up until the following Sunday. So I'm like,
yeah.
I have no idea what's going on.
And welcome to the show. This week we are reviewing The Boogeyman. As always, John will give us the plot in five words. We'll give our first thoughts and then we go to a deep spoiler analysis. But first, we go back to TV Corner and not watch a TV show titled, it's a short movie titled Ulysses. Did I say that right?
I don't know.
Ulysses.
We're both very bad Mexicans. Ulysses.
Right.
Ulysses. All the size. Yeah. We'll get there.
We'll get there. Yeah. This is taking longer than the actual short. Cool. Yeah. So this is another short horror movie.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Okay, we'll
figure it out. It's like riding a bike. We'll figure this out eventually.
The journey doesn't matter as long as you get to the end, right? That's whatever. I'm pretty sure that's a saying. Confucius says, "Hey, don't even worry about it, man."
poop on your tatas. Okay, John, you picked this. I'm curious as to how you found it. And why?
Well, clearly because it's like a Mexican-based production, and I told you that before. No, I did not know that. It was a very pleasant surprise.
Right.
So my YouTube algorithm is very fucked. It's a lot of like fitness things, a lot of video games.
Feeling a little primarily insecure about your weight.
No, it's mostly like weightlifting stuff. Like, do this and this. And I just like fall into a rabbit hole of like these people going, "I'm only going to eat things high in fat for a week," and bullshit like that. I'm like, okay. I don't know why this is fascinating to me, but it is. That it's like video game content, mostly Call of Duty and Borderlands 3 stuff. So sponsor us. And then I get like a lot of nature stuff. For some reason, I get a lot of fishing things. I don't understand how that happened, but I'm watching them all now. Even though I am very vegan, I'm like, yeah. Let's watch some animals kill each other.
Catch that fish.
Fillet that fucker. Yeah. You know, so stuff like that. And then a lot of things called movie recaps. And I'm wondering if that's because I follow people like Found Flicks or like Watercolor Films, all these guys that do a lot of really fun content. And movie recaps are really just somebody typing in something so a robot generated voice will give you the review of the movie in a bunch of little mini clips, but then they will not explain or tell you what the movie is because I think they'll get in trouble. So I see a lot of like, oh, this is interesting, but I never know what the fucking movie title is, and I have to like scroll through the comments for that one hero that's like, oh, it's this. And that's how I found this. What I didn't realize was the short movie recap thing I saw was twice as long as the actual short.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Because
why would...
Because the short we're reviewing is only 7 minutes long, but realistically more mm-hmm. than 5 minutes long because it is like somehow 2.5 minutes.
A lot of credits. Yeah. A lot of credits. I thought, to be fair, real quick, like I honestly thought maybe there was like a little tag at the end. So like I actually like watched the whole thing thinking maybe there's like something else. Yeah. There wasn't. Spoiler, there wasn't. No.
Yeah, you thought maybe more boobs. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, there were some fish boobs in this. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, fish have titties too. It's life. It's nature.
Do they?
No, I don't know. You never had any. Any of those crab nipples? You never deep fried crab nipples?
Well, I've always heard that. You said this was shot in Veracruz. I always said that you have to try their crabs.
Yeah. Oh man. I do distinctly remember when I did eat fish a long time ago, liking Veracruz's version of however they do fish. And I was like, dude, it's so good. But I think in retrospect, it's because it was basically stupid spicy. So I'm like, oh, it's perfect.
Yeah, yeah.
I hate my intestines, so this is perfect.
So this was a short about fish nipples.
I think so. Yeah, just explain, hey, crab, deep fried crab nipples are my favorite treat on Earth.
We're gonna stop the show so we can talk about whether or not there's fish nipples. Fish have.
I don't think fish have nipples.
So I have to know. No. Yeah. So we can continue.
Yeah,
they have mammary glands. They have mammary glands, according to.
A handful of people listening to this right now questioning whether fish have nipples or not. They're like, wait. Because I'm pretty sure everybody's like, of course fish don't have nipples. But then the more we talk about it, they're like, do any fish have nipples? I don't know. Octopus nipples? They have sucky things.
Yeah.
And this is what Ulysses sucky is things. About. It's about fish nipples.
Because it says, reptiles, amphibians, birds, and insects lack mammary glands. Only mammals have mammary glands that produce milk to feed their offspring. Although fish can't lactate, around 22% of the species of fish care for their young in different ways, which is pretty ambiguous as to how they take care of them.
These are the important questions that we're asking. Because this gets me wondering, like, I don't think I've ever seen fish fuck. Not that I want to, but, you know, it just occurred to me.
I've seen fish fuck. Oh, nice. I've seen fish fuck, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
But have you ever seen crabs fuck? Like, how do crabs fuck? Are they like turtles? Like, it's just like
the sideways. Awkward... They fuck sideways.
Because the few times I've seen turtles fuck, I'm like, is homie's dick just like extending out like a neck does? Like, I don't
understand. It's a whole production. Yeah. Yeah.
They make that cute little high pitched noise. Like, oh man.
They do. Yeah. It's adorable.
You heard it here, folks. We think the turtle's fucking is adorable.
So I'm going to go on a limb and say that I was underwhelmed with the short. I think it's more supposed to be... It's pretty simple.
Oh, very simple.
And it looked great. It looked great, actually. Yeah. The production design. Bravo. You know, I looked at the credits. It's a very small crew. And what they were able to accomplish is really good. It's like... This is
beautiful.
You can, beautiful. And yeah, this is definitely... At the level of like, you know, like a really nice like cologne commercial. You know what I'm talking about? How like those are high production.
Very Dioré sort of like cliffside beautiful ocean.
So this sort of movie is definitely like something you might see at a festival and would definitely stand out.
So what would you say is the true horror aspect of this? Because I have an opinion on that where I'm like, that's actually pretty fucked up because
the mermaid, I guess.
Yeah, because I feel like it's a what's the word I'm looking for? Sorry, I'm blanking right now. I'm a little bit where they do a 180 on what the idea is, but I think they do it twice, in my opinion. Because first off, it's like what the siren is trying to like kill this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, you kind of get the sort of suggested like this guy knew what he was doing because he dropped his own blood into the ocean. Mm-hmm. Unless he was trying to fucking catch sharks, like, I don't know. But like, he drops his blood in the ocean, and then the siren comes up, and then, you know, what happens? The dude took his hearing aid out, so he couldn't hear anything, so he was able to kill Legend, this mermaid, to death.
Yeah.
Where I think it was super horrific is you pay attention to what's going on at the very, very end when he's eating. He ate the human half first.
He ate the upper torso first, yeah.
He ate the human half part, and he left the fish part hanging.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God, dude. So I think it's just like maybe he's a cannibal, right? But he's killing these mermaids instead of killing other people. Maybe he's killing other people. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like once you get a taste for the fish nipples, you're like, I don't know.
He did not eat the fish nipples. He ate the fish nipples.
He ate everything included. Yeah. Except for the fish part.
Well, to be fair, I mean, aside from like the torso chest region, it was pretty fishy, you know, because it had like things, blowholes, and like side ribs to breathe out of.
Ayo, sorry, you said
blowhole. I did say blowhole.
That was, I opened up a can of Sierra Nevada.
What pass? Sierra Nevada.
IPA, hazy IPA, sponsor.
Yeah, okay.
Send us cases, thank you. you can put it on the can. Hey, Skeletons and Boys Love Fish Nipples, sponsored.
We're okay with that. So I hate the majority. What did he do with the head? He didn't eat the head, clearly, right?
I don't know, maybe. Like, if we're going to venture out and guess, I'm going to say this guy is very resourceful. So he made a broth out of the bones. And then the chunky parts that he was eating are just like the chunkier parts of the flesh. So I'm assuming like the chest or the stomach area or the arms or something.
Right.
You can't really tell what's floating around in the soup, but it just seems like it was pure body.
It looked like a chunk of fish plus like some vegetables, tomatoes, stuff like that.
Could have been eyes.
I mean, very well could have been, but I think they were trying to focus, the show was trying to focus less on what was in this dude, more on trying to focus more on like the big reveal of the hearing aid.
Quick.
Sorry.
Eat some fish nipples. Yeah, which I thought was pretty cool. And it's as soon as he turns on the radio, that's when I was like, wait, where was this shot? I was like, holy shit. I got really excited. I enjoyed Ulysses and the fish nipples. But you say you didn't care for it too much. But I enjoyed Ulysses, the fish nipple saga. The Odyssey of...
Yeah. Like, it's definitely, like, it's in reference to that part of the Odyssey, Homer's Odyssey, right? About the... Didn't they encounter...
And not to keep hitting the hammer on the nail, but he is talking about the fish nipples. In the Odyssey, like, there's a very big focal point. They're like, we need deep-fried crab nipples. Like, I don't know if people remember this, there's a huge chunk of the middle part of the Odyssey. He's like, just, hey, we're hungry, we need deep fried crab nipples. Oh shit,
just focus on recipes and how to stew different types of fishes.
It is quite literally 20 chapters of the book.
Yeah. Or bisque, or like a nice warm bisque. Bring that back, very, call back,
very tasty chowder.
Oh yeah. Chowder is a disgusting word, by the way, but yeah.
It is anyways, like a very unattractive word, but
yeah,
I'll be damned if I say I don't love a good chowder. Like, I love a good corn chowder.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no, I liked the idea of it, right? And of course, like the shooting of it, but like ends up being a lot of like cuteness and not meaning much in the end. So
yeah,
that part I didn't care for.
I think we were both trying to figure out if there was like any sort of special reason for Ulysses being the name of the short, or, and I think what we could gather, because I don't know, a lot of it's a reach, maybe it's just loosely based on anything, but I think what we were able to figure out, so you guys don't have to do this much research, is back in like the late 70s, I don't want to get this wrong, so let me pull it up one more time. Okay, like back in 1980, Ulysses was a male orca that lived in SeaWorld San Diego. So that's clearly what this is based on.
Why is that clear?
Killer whale. Because, I mean, you guessed it. I'm sure you've already guessed it all at home. That orca had nipples, so...
I thought we established that mammals do not have nipples.
That's why it's special. No. That's why Ulysses is a special case. All 9,800 pounds of it. Damn,
dude. Orca means fish nipples. Got it. Got it. Never knew that.
Bowl of deep fried orca, please.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Easy to say, but I guess we should move on to our.
No, I think we're well. Keep going.
Because I could talk about fish nipples for another hour and a half.
So. I hope that's not a hint about our next thing we're gonna talk about.
It's called the fish nipples.
Oh no! Okay. Alrighty. Would you recommend it? All kidding aside, fish nipples aside, would you recommend that?
You know, to watch? It's one of those things where I can like push it to somebody and be like, hey, if you want to do like a solid short for like a film festival, or like you want to like, I don't know, submit stuff, I feel like this is a pretty good idea of what you should do. Like, don't go out of your way to do like a 30-minute thing that...
Like a template. Yeah, it's a good... I agree with that. 100%.
It was beautiful. It was showcasing everything it could potentially be.
Mm-hmm. I can definitely agree with that. Alrighty. Let's move over to our main review of The Boogeyman. John, do you want to give us the plot in 5 words?
Johnny.
5 words.
Plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please.
Yes, I wanted to give you my first thoughts real quick, but I'll get into that later about my
okay, go. Okay.
No, I'll give you the 5 words. All right. For 2023's Boogeyman, coming in at number 3, young Natalie fights the Babadook.
Yep.
Yellow jackets. Coming in at number 2. Family loses mother and flashlights.
There weren't enough flashlights considering what they were fighting. What year was this?
And there was no sort of effort to even buy some flashlights. If you know what, like, anything. Glow sticks, damn it. Anyway, okay. And coming in at number 1 for 2023 is The Boogeyman. Best to leave Sawyer alone.
Yeah.
A good chunk of this movie is like, how about we just leave the youngest person in the family alone by themselves? 90% of this fucking movie. Hey, the child?
Yeah.
Don't worry about the child. Leave her alone.
Like, not to spoil anything, but after like a serious attack, they're like, oh yeah, you feel better? We gotta go. We gotta go. Just...
I think you need to learn to grow up. Like, that's what it felt like. And like, no, dude. It's so fucked up.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. John, what's your first thoughts? Aaron grievances, I hear?
Yes, I got 2 big ones. One, okay. I'm very upset that this wasn't like a surprise documentary about somebody like Rick James or something. Or, you know.
Okay.
Mostly because if you're going to call something the boogeyman, you know, it better be about somebody that knows how to boogie. But no, it's not. And then two, I saw not one fucking snot in this entire movie. Again, if you're going to call something the boogeyman, there better be some mocos, you know, there better be mucus somewhere. But instead, we got
very sick.
A too little, too late Stephen King adaptation when there's a movie called The Babadook that already perfected it.
So do you think the boogeyman had fish nipples or?
Oh, dude, yeah, I saw, like, I had to freeze, I had to pause. I'm like, dude, this is what's scary. Like, how's this thing breathing out of water? Those are clearly fish nipples.
Also, we should mention that you had trouble seeing it too.
I had to rewind several times. I eventually put on the captions. I'm not really a captions person, but because I couldn't really understand what was going on. The movie was just so dark, and I understand that's probably like an aesthetic thing because the boogeyman hides in the dark. But after being subjected to travesties like Skinamarink, I don't want to have to stare at something for a long time and not see anything.
So, yeah.
Little PTSD
trauma.
In that respect. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
I don't know what's going on. Like, I kept having to rewind, freeze frame, and I had the brightness on everything adjusted all the way up. Like, I think I'm supposed to be looking at this, but I don't know. The silhouette's here. And yeah. Then there was a couple of, like, I think there were supposed to be jump scares, but the only reason I knew that was because the other actor would react and scream or something. I'm like, oh, okay, something popped out.
Things are happening. Yeah.
And then one character dies, and I'm like, I guess they're dead. I don't know. Sure, I don't know.
Oh yeah. My first thoughts. I like Rob Savage. I think he did. What is it? That short Host. Have not seen the follow up to that dash cam, but
oh yeah,
think this is his sort of like first like film. You know what I mean? Like he's not. The other two were kind of like, you know, indie small budget.
Like 50 minutes long or something, right?
All right, yeah, it was a fish. It's actually to note that it was actually the first thing I saw on Shudder. It was like actually made me go and get Shudder. I was like, oh, okay, that's the only place it's showing this one thing, so I'm gonna watch it on there. Yeah. It was really good, yeah. So I was like a fan. And for the most part, yeah, there are things I really liked about this. Some of the it's very jump scare heavy.
Yeah.
So if you like that, sure. This is the movie for you.
If you say so, if there's jump scares, sure.
Littered through this movie. Doesn't really have an original plot. Wasn't no. particularly interested in the... This movie reminds me a lot of Cobwebs. I was going to compare this movie to Cobweb. You know, like...
It's very
a sort
Cobweb.
Of mid-tier yeah. horror movie that's all kind of like about one thing. So...
Yeah, like... I can't say it's bad because the acting was pretty fucking good. All around.
Yeah. Yeah, I was...
David Malchunkian. God, I always fuck up his last name. I apologize. But he was fucking fantastic. Like, he's good in everything you see him in. But, like, this was like, yeah, dude. That was
good. He has a nice scenes in this movie. And huge fan of Sophie Thatcher. You know, Yellow Jackets. Yeah. Excellent. She's going to be a big deal. Yeah, like, clearly, it's not just a... Yellow Jackets thing. She's like, I thought she was excellent in this. I thought for the type of, for who the character she had and who, what she was playing, I thought she was very, you know, empathetic and, you know, did a really good job with it. And even her dad, Chris, what's his name? Chris Messina.
Yeah, that guy could be big. I don't know really if good. He's ever been in anything.
Yeah. What is he supposed to, what is he in? I don't watch what got famous off of. Is it The New Girl? Or what is
not
it?
The New Girl. It would be Mindy Project. Maybe it would be like the last thing.
Oh, was that the thing? I didn't watch it. Whatever he was big in, I didn't watch. There's just a host of...
He's been in so much shit.
I mean, this is not like a knock on him, but like there's just a host of white actors that they're all the same. person. Could not think him out of a lineup.
Probably so. Rounders. That was the first big movie he ever did.
I saw Rounders. He must have been super young then. No?
And then he was, yeah, like, this was, yeah. And then he's, what, 49 now?
Okay, yeah.
He was also in You Got Mail. I mean, I'm going to remember this. Spoiler alert, like, one of my all-time favorite movies.
We did Argo. And I saw Devil.
Oh, 6 Feet Under.
I saw Ruby Sparks. I saw Away We Go. So clearly, I've seen a ton of movies he's been in, but... Oh, She Dies Tomorrow. We saw that together. We reviewed it here. So, gun to my head, I honestly could not tell you whether or not I saw anything. So, yeah. If you would have told me I had, you know, named 5 movies from his filmography, I could not. And I feel like I confuse...
Kind of one of those actors where you could just name 5 movies and he probably was in them.
He low-key... I get confused with Jack Johnson. That's who I confuse it with.
Oh, okay.
I know they don't look the same at all. They play like different types of people, but like, you know, you switch their, you play a game and you put their filmographies together and you shake it up, like, and you just set a bunch of titles from it.
Yeah.
I would lose. I would lose that game.
You're talking about Jake Johnson or Jack Johnson? Jack Johnson.
Jake. Is it Jake?
Because I literally was like, he kind of looks like him because Jack Johnson. Jake. I don't know if people remember.
But yeah, the singer?
Like, yeah. Kinda, yeah, the surfer dude, right?
The surfer dude, yeah. Yeah. Jake, yeah.
Okay, yeah. I feel you on that one. Even though, hey, Jake Johnson's a really good looking guy. But Chris Pacino is like very handsome.
A really good looking.
Yeah. Again, not a knock on Jake Johnson. Hey, good looking dude. But
yeah. But yeah, aside from that, like, I was. I think this is like just kind of a more big budget thing for Rob Savage, and it was mixed bag, pretty middle of the road, I thought, overall.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not gonna hate on it too hard, because it's like, if you want to watch a horror movie this Halloween and you want it to be quick, this is fine.
Yeah.
Like, I agree with Cobwebs. Like, yeah, same thing. It's just like, if you compare it to like really good movies, like let's say The Babadook, because it's a very similar sort of storyline or like a premise, the grieving and like acceptance and blah, blah, blah. And
is it? I did hear this comparison.
Yeah, because the whole movie is just... The reality of the boogeyman being there is because they are not allowing themselves to accept or move on from the grief.
Yeah. And then I got the same sense of that at the end. Yeah. But I felt like the Babadook was better. Does that make sense?
Sure.
Like
way
better. Yeah, yeah. But
that's
like,
what I'm saying. Like, if you're going to... Because they have a similar sort of premise... It's like you might accidentally compare them, and then that would make this movie kind of shitty. But like, it's not bad. It's fine.
Just yeah.
Look at that one. It's not. Bobby was fucking great.
Have you read or know about the Stephen King short?
No.
Yeah.
But it's very Stephen King-y. Like a lot of it. Unresolved trauma or whatever is kind of his shtick.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's, you know, like especially that moment at the very end, which is like, this is probably in the book or the short story or whatever. There's a moment where somebody closes the door. We'll get to that later. But I'm like, yeah, that feels right. Like, I don't know. But the actual thing, I guess, like, I didn't like. Even in The Babadook, they explain it more, because The Babadook had, like, the book kept coming in to explain what it was, to, like... Because what is it? It is unresolved grief and just the fear of... I mean, essentially the unknown of the future, because something happened and now you're scared of what could happen now or whatever, right? Because you're not letting go and just moving on.
Right. Yeah. I would. I thought a more apt comparison was for like Smile. Like Smile came out this year. It's kind of like the same.
Say, Talk to Me. Also, there's something very similar feeling about these movies. Like Cobwebs and Boogeyman are very similar to like Smile and Talk to Me, except two of these four movies are like far superior.
Yeah, yeah. Like, because Smile has this like the same sort of like. It's the same sort of like it's this thing that just lives in the shadows and just continues to kind of you know, feed on other people and stuff like that, you know.
Yeah,
but it kind of, like you said, it does kind of shift more to a metaphor, which is fine. I thought that was fine. It was okay, you know. It was pretty spelled out. I felt like the screenplay was cheating in any way. I felt like they set it up and then the payoff of it, and then they leaned into the metaphor, which was fine, you know.
Yeah, because it also gives you a sense of like the, even though this movie does have a sort of final scare, it's still a happy ending. Like, you feel like everything's probably going to be okay. Actually, it's fine.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, and I think people were more. From what I understand, this was supposed to be just like a Hulu movie, but I think it tested well, and they decided to give it to like an actual like theatrical release. So.
Oh, okay. I mean, which is fine too. I mean, yeah, it's like a good Halloween movie.
Yeah, I kind of felt like if it had just been on Hulu, I would have been like, okay, yeah, that's fine. It's in that type of movies that get released on streamers. Feel like that. It feels like those type of movies.
And if we're going to compare this to, let's say, like Talk to Me, I think a big difference is you're not mad at the characters for the choices they're making for the most part, right? Because in Talk to Me, it's like this thing was like really digging into this young lady's grief and like tricking her.
Yeah.
But in this one, did you have the captures on?
No, but I did have my headphones in.
Okay. Because in the captions, there's like a bunch of moments where like the boogeyman is like mumbling a bunch of shit and also singing some song that the mom who passed away, maybe I missed it, but like how?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how the mom passed away. I don't know what happened there. It's just like they ignored that, in my opinion.
I got the sense it was suicide, but that might be just me inferring.
That's where I was like, was that what it was? Or I don't know.
Because I even want to say the kids said something too, like the little shitty friends.
Oh yeah.
Maybe had said something to that effect. That's how I got, but it was never really truly spelled out because they're, yeah, this movie's pretty like, The part of the movie is that they're not talking about it, right?
Yeah.
About why the mom died. But I felt like I got the sense that she killed herself. But I don't remember.
God, like, it's getting closer to fucking Talk to Me the more we talk about it.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, that was one of the big questions I had the entire movie. I thought eventually they were going to reveal it because it seemed like it was going to be important to the plot, and then whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, I think one of the big differences is that this is happening to them by chance, right?
Yeah.
Talk to Me is more about, like, they are inviting these problems because of their bad choices. Because I felt like, you know, the family, something came into their home and, you know, started terrorizing them or haunting them or whatever. So,
but in this movie, the boogeyman, I mean, everybody's answer to what's going on is shock therapy? ? not like electrodes, but like, hey, oh, okay, well, because this thing happened in the dark, so what we're going to do?
Hypnosis.
Hypnosis, but we're also going to submerge you in complete darkness, too. <We're gonna laughs> yeah, get over that was real quick.
Yeah.
Or like the shitty friends, like, oh, hey, is this where something happened that was tragic? Here, we're going to lock you in here. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I got that sense. Yeah.
It's like poor Sophie Thatcher was also just doing her best the entire movie.
Yeah.
Except for something that I had a hard time with was the relationship with the dad, with Chris Pacino, where it's like they're both trying their best with what they're being, I guess, directed to do. And again, it's not really on the director either. I don't know. There's just like a...
It's a story element.
It was too much, I thought. Like, it was too... Hey, we're just not going to talk to each other. Or, hey, I'm like, I'm mad at you, Dad, because you don't want to, like, tell me anything, but also I'm not going to say anything at all. Like, okay.
But I think the irony is that he's a psychiatrist. Yeah. But he doesn't want to talk about it. I kind of do feel like, despite, you know, the dad character, was it Chris Messina? He was kind of purposely left out of a lot of things because it was plot contrivance. Does that make sense? Yeah. Like, it was like to fit the story, he had to be like this distant father, because if he had been any kind of like acted rational in this situation, then he, you know, he could have, things could have, you know, come full circle faster. Does that make sense? Like,
definitely. Like, he, yeah. But I guess, like, they just left him out of the movie too much. I guess because the movie is supposed to be about Sophie Thatcher. Even though it made it seem like it was going to be about Princess Leia. I'm sorry, little girl.
Because she's Princess Leia. And
Ben Kenobi, the...
Oh, yeah. I watched, like, half of one episode and turned it off. Because, I mean, you can imagine why I didn't finish it, but...
Well, she was also in We Can Be Heroes, which was pretty good.
Which is what?
Rodriguez, We Can Be Heroes, the movie. The
oh, TV his Netflix. Movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, his, like, new Netflix thing. Yeah. Okay. I would say this is probably going to be her best thing so far. I thought she was really good.
Yeah, I mean,
that's pretty good. And they had some nice things where, like, it's set up pretty early. She sleeps with the light. She sleeps with the light on. She doesn't like to be dark. So, which kind of, I thought, fit nicely, because they also had that nice light, that moonlight, or like the moon. It was like a light, but shaped like a moon. Cool.
Yeah.
That was cool, yeah. And I thought it was really, and they used it pretty well. Like, you know, she's carries it around. She like kicks it around through the hallways and through, under the bed, rolls it a lot. Yeah.
I swear that thing broke like 6 times in this movie.
Like, different times, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
So you want to get into spoilers?
Yes, let's get into spoilers.
Wait! No, stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Stop. Please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into...
Spoilers! So the first big spoiler is the cold open, which didn't really land with me, I'll be honest, is they blur out the fish nipples. I'm like, no, fuck this.
Yeah, I'm out. Oh, yeah. Oh, I forgot to mention the opening. But yeah, go ahead.
So it's supposed to be, you're getting the sense that David Dasmalchian, he played a guy named Lester. I forgot, because
Lester Billings.
That other woman had a name. They just called her Lester's wife. That's what it was on the captions. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That he kills his kids? After what? Like one of their kids dies tragically, so instead of like the mom dying, it was like one of the daughters dies, and then they make it seem like Lester killed his family, like, I don't know, very Amityville Horror style. But then what you gather from the rest of the movie is like the boogeyman can also fake voices, kind of.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I hated the opening of this, because it's literally like
nothing.
Something. Sorry. Yeah. Comes out of the closet. Yeah. And it's clearly the boogeyman. It's called the boogeyman. Clearly something's coming out of the closet. It comes out of the closet. It's talking in some other voice, but we haven't met Lester Billings, so we had no idea who this voice is. And the baby sees it. The baby's crying. they kill the baby. And anytime you like you open the movie by killing a baby, it's never like it's very like
Hey, if you're not gonna put that baby in the oven as a reveal at the very end of the movie, we don't want it.
Yeah. Huge skeleton boys, no no. We need our babies roasted. Yeah, no, just killing a child at the beginning of the movie is like, what? Like, how am I supposed to feel for the rest of this movie now? You killed a child. It's like, I don't know. It
very luckily, you forget about that 10 minutes later.
Yeah.
I forgot about the cold open of this movie until just a little while ago, to be honest. I'm like, oh, yeah, that happened.
Same, yeah. Kind of took me a little bit out of it. It's a little weird for a cold open. And then, yeah, then we meet everybody else in the... in the house,
and then so Lester and casually walks into that home.
Yeah,
he talks to Chris Messina, who's a psychologist. Am I getting this wrong? Psychologist.
And, who's a psychologist? Yes.
I don't know. Says a bunch of things. He's doing a great job, and then he hangs himself in his wife's studio or like the wife's closet.
Yeah, where studio. I think she died. Right?
Sure.
Am I crazy?
I don't know. I don't understand. I wish they had told us. I mean, I've never been so desperate to figure out how somebody died, but yeah.
Yeah. I thought the actor did an excellent job because he was very... he gave vibes from like The Sixth Sense. You remember? Was it a...
Oh, Donnie...
The Donnie Wahlberg. Yeah, a little fun cameo in that. Unrecognizable cameo in that.
Yeah,
he kind of gave me that same kind of vibes, so I thought it was effective.
Oh, so would you say David Dasmalchian is like the replacement of Donnie Wahlberg? Would that make David the new kid on the block? Or
in horror, yeah. Yeah.
So I had a thought real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
How would you feel about this movie, considering it's called The Boogeyman? If do you recall Eddie Izzard's character in Mystery Men? The disco, I forgot what they're called. Remember Mystery Men? Eddie Izzard was...
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I remember.
Like, they're like disco guys. So if
okay,
like
yeah.
Eddie Izzard coming out with disco music because it's Boogeyman. It's like, hey there. Yeah, they're little babies. I forgot he had like a weird voice.
my thing is like it's the Stephen King short's not called The Boogeyman, is it? Or is it? I thought because I could have sworn it was called something else, but I was quickly reading the trivia.
Was it called Somewhere in Maine? I'm just kidding.
I could be wrong about this. I probably am very wrong about this.
I mean, it doesn't sound like something he would do. He doesn't usually be like... I mean, maybe it is called The Boogeyman. I don't know. Let us know in the comments below. But it is something he wrote back in 1973.
And I think it was very different. From what I'm gathering, the short story is like basically about Lester Billings talking to a psychologist about seeing The Boogeyman. And then I think him doing that light therapy and then him wetting himself was the end of it. So I think that yeah, this definitely feels like something written in the 70s, you know, because there was like no like there's like light therapy was like a big thing.
Yeah.
You know, it was a more prevalent thing around that time. Which and there's like no flashlights.
Yeah, yeah,
no phones.
There's no flashlights in 90s.
Phones and there's no like cell phone lights. Not, you know what I mean? It's kind of like they're
the
being faithful.
When the lighters had like an unlimited amount of fluid in them.
Yeah, and ghosts haunting them. Remember when lighters used to haunt ghosts used to haunt lighters?
Something I didn't catch is when Sadie's trying to figure out how to contact the dead on the like via computer or whatever. It's a little. It's the host that she's watching.
Oh, I didn't see that. I didn't catch that either. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
So, other than David, who dies in this? Lester. I mean, Lester dies. Lester's wife dies? Question mark. That was the one.
No, she does. She got ripped apart. She got ripped. directly apart.
I mean, or maybe I just like looked down right when that happened. I was like, I'm not going to go back again. I'm just assuming she's dead.
Yeah, she was dead. Because they, we should just quickly say that Lester's wife devised a plan to capture it. Correct? Like to try to capture it by using Sophie Thatcher's character as bait, basically. Because I guess when Lester went there, he sort of left the thing there, the boogeyman there, so which imprinted onto like the new family because of their grief or something.
Yes.
Yeah. That kind of tracks, right? Everything I'm saying tracks, more or less.
So do you think the way this works is Lester purposely sought out this family who just went through a traumatic experience and decided to kill himself in that house so that this thing would leave his wife alone, but then his wife just like...
So he didn't kill himself in the house. I think the boogeyman killed him in that house. That's the sense I got. Because there was a struggle in the closet and it sounded like two things... Like there was like a fight going on, and then like they said it was suicide. You know what I mean? Because they're like, "Well, what killed him?" You know, because he was already dead on the, you know, rat. You know, he was already hung on the door there, that's inside of the door.
The boogeyman didn't strike me as something that was like, "Oh, I'm gonna like strategically place this like makeshift noose I made out of this tie and hang him on the closet." But I mean, I like what you're saying more, because I just assumed he was struggling because he was getting strangled as he hung himself.
Because I got the sense when Sophie Thatcher went into that room, she heard him arguing or fighting. Maybe he saw it and killed himself. Maybe he was planning to kill himself or something like that. Maybe he did actually kill himself because he saw it there. But you got the sense that he brought it there. Now, did he do it on purpose? I don't know. But he did. I think he went to the psychiatrist to talk to him because he had just been through some grief. And everyone was blaming him for the child's murder.
Yeah.
And that Sophie Thatcher can't get in that door, but over here is like a struggle, like two things like wrestling together or whatever. You know what I mean? Fighting. And then when she's actually in there, what's his face is dead in the closet.
Or yeah, more so Chris Pacino like finally rushes in, somehow gets on the other side of Sophie Thatcher, and then they have this like really awkward reveal of like, oh, because the little girl's in there too, right? Like, oh, don't turn around. Or like he's just looking up and sees that he's hanging on the door. And I was like, this is a really tight room. Like, how did nobody notice?
The closet?
It's a closet, yeah. How did nobody notice that he was hanging on the backside of the door? Like, how did they not feel that when they were opening the fucking door, that there's like this 190 to 200 pound dude like hanging off the door?
Yeah, I don't remember exact sequence, but yeah, she does get into that room. I think she's not scared because she of course doesn't know what's going on yet, right?
No,
she just knows that there's like a man. There's like a man in the whatever Lester in the house, because she's.
Well, I don't even.
Think I actually thought this part.
She doesn't know that.
She saw him.
Oh.
She saw him, but because she's doing laundry.
When did she see him? Because that whole sequence, he's in the background when she opens up the thing and he pops out, blurred out, and then he's there. And then she churns, and then he's not there anymore. But then she hears something in her mom's room.
Oh. The sequence, which I thought was actually pretty cool, because it has her with her AirPods on or whatever.
Yeah.
So she's like, can't really hear. And they kind of do it in a way to where you feel like you can't. It's really nice because it's stuff from her perspective. So he's kind of like feels muffled because of the music and stuff. She did slip on the paint. I got the sense that she was headed in that direction, not because she heard something, but because she saw him. But yeah, I think that we saw him looking at her, but when she turned around, I don't think she saw him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Unless she heard the noise.
And then she just saw what, I mean, I think we all assumed it was blood, right? But it was
paint. Yeah. But it was paint, right? That's why she went into the studio.
I will say this entire sequence leads up to a reason I'm going to give half a star added to my final score for this movie. This one sequence leads into one line where I'm like, half a star right there, just for that. Sawyer, the youngest girl, is getting back from school on the bus, and they get to her house, and there's like another body being dragged out. And her friend is like, "Oh, is your dad dead too?" And I
that was a good line. Funny. Yeah. Yeah, that was a good line.
It's like, oh my god, yeah. Kids.
Yeah.
Like half a star added right there. Bam.
Yeah, definitely. It was good. Yeah. Yeah. But cool.
Other than that, I don't think anybody else really dies in this movie, right? I mean, Lester's wife, Lester.
Yeah, the kid, the baby.
Oh, the baby, yeah. I forgot. I keep forgetting about the cold open. I just talked about it. Like,
That was it, yeah. Just three people, I believe. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sophie Thatcher has a best friend, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, I just wanted to quickly just describe, like, it was like a long-legged ball of a creature. Oh, is that correct? Yeah. Like, I'm trying to describe what it might have looked like, and it had like two layers to it, right? Because it was opened its mouth where there was more arms, and then the actual face of it. So it's like a two-layered creature system.
Which I couldn't decide if I liked it or not, but like, because
it was different. I'll give it that.
It opens up its mouth. But mm-hmm. This part, I couldn't decide if I liked it or not. It opens up his mouth, and you see, like, a decaying head in there, which is pretty cool. But then regular arms come out covered in blood.
Right.
Just, yeah. Like, regular hands.
Yeah. Oh.
Okay. Oh. Sure.
And then it tried to, like, what was it sucking out? I don't get. It was sucking something out of the individual, Sophie Thatcher's character, wasn't she?
Yeah, I don't know. I think it was like trying to be explained with Lester's wife saying she knew stuff. I couldn't follow what was going on with any of that.
Yeah.
I mean, it was sucking out something that looked like the shit that was on the walls, wherever this thing was at, where it was all black and kind of like veiny, almost like tree-like kind of, right? Like
right.
Vines, mm-hmm. sort of.
Or like that's vines. How I'd describe it. Yeah.
So it looked like it was sucking something out of Sophie Thatcher like that. So I'm like, wait, is the boogeyman a good guy trying to get rid of like bad things in the body and everybody's freaking out? Just kidding. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds right. Yeah. Cool.
I don't think there's like much to really think about.
I know, it's yeah, overthinking yeah. it. Yeah. They didn't overthink it. Why are we? Why
are we? So I'm coming to that conclusion right now. Like I think maybe it's just like it's a movie that happens. Like I don't know.
Yeah. It's a fun little movie. Okay. Do you want to just rate it?
Yeah.
All right. How many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
How many sexy spooky bones will you give it? Sexy bones. Ooh, sexy bones. Well, I know what you need. Show us your sexy, spooky bones.
No, wait, don't do that. Just rate the movie.
I'm going to give 2023's Boogeyman 5.5. Thank you. Is your dad dead too? Line. Sexy, spooky bones.
I'm gonna give it a little bit more. I'll give it 6 fish nipples nice. out of 10. Yeah.
Delicious
deep fried. Deep fried. Yeah.
Cool. That's the boogeyman.
That's the boogeyman. We did it. All right, guys, gals, non-binary pals. Thank you for listening, and as always,
stay spooky. Get your bucket of deep-fried crab and fish nipples.